Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger, and I'm so pleased to be coming your way with another radio broadcast time together. I want to thank those who have tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. I want to thank those of you that's tuned me in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM, or 92.7 FM. We're over in the lower Ada area, 100.3 FM. So glad that you've tuned me in this morning. Also want to thank those from Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock for tuning me in this morning. And we're now streaming both Ionia and Greenville stations are being streamed by the way of the web, and that's something that is pretty special. Others have joined me, and I want to thank you for that, from Internet Radio at earsradio.com. And those of you that have joined me by the way of my website, I thank you as well. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. You'll see where it says Messages from the Lighthouse. Take your mouse up over the word Messages from the Lighthouse, and it will show you Current Media. Click on Current Media, and it should take you to the broadcast that is there for this morning. Whatever way you tuned me in, I'm just so glad that you was able to do that, and I thank you for doing that. I need to take just a moment and thank those who take care of the financial cost that is involved in broadcasting. So a thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area for your faithful support. Thank you to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. Gloria, thank you for your faithful support. To Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, thanks for your faithful support. And then Shiloh Community Church, I want to thank for their support as well. And also realize that we're still not gathering together in the building. The building's been empty the longest we ever thought it would possibly be. But anyway, we are streaming services by the way of the internet on Facebook. And so for Shiloh Community Church this weekend, it'll be at 10 o'clock. And Pastor Jim Lacey will be sharing a message. And then for Greenville, it'll be at 11 o'clock. And Pastor Paul will be sharing the message from Greenville. So if you tune us in, that would be good. We appreciate that. Been having a lot of viewers watching, and so that's been very good. But I tell you, we're really missing not being in the church building. Thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting the music for this morning. She's done it for a lot of years, and she's been faithful, and I really appreciate her doing all that work. Well, that takes care of those things that I need to take care of. So I just need to hope that you had a very good Easter, that you had some time that you could celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you a little bit about our Easter. I fixed dinner. I'm the cook at our house, and especially when it comes to the big meals. But right now, my wife is having difficulty, so I'm the cook for all the meals, and I enjoy it because my mama taught me to cook when I was very young, and I've always appreciated that. But I fixed a big turkey and a ham and mashed potatoes and gravy, not trying to make you hungry, but I had some sweet potatoes and some homemade rolls. And I called my grandkids and my kids in the area and just said, if you want to drop by, I'll have you dished up a meal. And so they dropped by. They didn't stay, or we didn't hug or anything. They just dropped by the house and picked up a bag of food and went back to their home and ate it. And that made it pretty special for me, and I think that was good for them as well. Well, you know, Bev and I went for Easter message. I said to her one day, I'd like to do an Easter message on my Facebook. And so I said, I'd like to have you read the scripture. Well, she's not one to do that kind of stuff up front. She doesn't like that. But she did. She did concede to do it. And so we made a video, about 30-minute video about Emmaus Walk. And to my surprise, that video went to 10,000 people. on my Facebook. And that's something that really made my Easter weekend, as we see how many people tuned in the video, watched that video that we had made. And we didn't do a good job. Got a tripod now, so to make it a little easier. But whatever ways you had to go through, one of the things that I think back of the last week, because these weeks are difficult, folks, and I know that and you know that. And the longer they go, the more difficult they seem to become. But last week, we knew and celebrated that Jesus made it through his Friday, because Sunday was a-coming. And we're going through some Fridays now, a difficult time when things are just so much different than it's ever been. But I got to tell you, there's going to be some glory coming afterwards. And that's what we need to keep on doing. My verse for my thinking has been these last few days, looking unto Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we'll be talking about that a little later in our time together this morning. But I'm just so glad to be able to share with you this morning. And we'll get started by listening to a song. And this song is this idea of this hope that we have. I believe, the song says, help thou my unbelief. We all have some of that from time to time, folks. And we need to realize that God wants to help us as we trust in him. But he also wants to help us when we have those moments of doubt, those moments of despair, so to speak, and we don't know what's going on. So we'll listen to this song, kind of prepare our hearts for the message, and I'll be right back and share the message with you.
I believe, help thou my unbelief. I take the finite risk of trusting like a child. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I walk into the unknown, trusting all the while. I long so much to feel the warmth that others seem to know. But should I never feel a thing, I claim him even so. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I walk into the unknown, trusting all the while. I walk into the unknown, trusting.
I walk into the unknown. I like the way that said, trusting. And we all are in a place of unknown. We're on a path we've never been before. And it's been a long path. And it's been a difficult thing as we've been homebound and all the other things have changed so much in our life these last weeks. And yet we need to trust him. We need to do as the song said, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That comes from a man that come to have his daughter healed. And he said, if you believe, Jesus said, it'll be possible. And he said, I believe, Jesus. Help my unbelief. I believe that may be where we're at about now in this thing that we're going through. I believe, Lord Jesus, you're going to get us out of this. And help my unbelief. Doubt's a terrible thing. Doubt causes us all kinds of problems and difficulties. So let's just pray that prayer. I want to remember you, the listening audience, and ask the Lord's blessing to be upon our time together. Dear Father, once again we come to you. I do want to pause and just thank you for each person that's tuned me in this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And Father, as we come, we're going to start out with this idea, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I want to believe with each person today that's listening to my broadcast. I want to believe with them that things are going to get better. And I want to pray the same prayer that they may be praying. Lord, help my unbelief. And God, would you be pleased to bless us as we look into your word? We realize these last few weeks have been tremendously different than any one of us ever would have thought was going to be facing at this time. And we know that we still got a road ahead of us, a journey that's going to be pretty difficult, knowing exactly when we can go back to these kinds of things and when it's safe to go back to life as we once knew it. It'll probably never be as we once knew it, but as we try to get the new norm for our life, we just pray, Lord, that again, you would cause us to realize that we believe and you help our unbelief. Come and honor your word now, I pray, dear Jesus. And I pray in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, God just gave me a simple little thing here. I'm over here at the lighthouse. It's a Wednesday morning. And we got a bunch of those little diving ducks. I don't know if you've ever seen the diving ducks, but I love to watch them. They're just little critters. They're not a very big bird, but they kind of on top of the water, and all of a sudden they hit their head down, and down they go. And they stay down there for quite a while, too. They're looking for food, and there's a bunch of them been right out in front here trying to give me a little entertainment, and I appreciate that so much. Well, as we talk about our message this morning, we're talking about places along the way. Places along the way of the life of the Lord Jesus. You know, when you think about things in your life and my life as we are in this kind of homebound time, one of the good things to do now and then is just to think of some places that we've enjoyed going and how special they were. I have a lot of pictures on my screensaver. And when I ride bike in the morning, I have those pictures showing. And all of a sudden, a beautiful picture of my cabin popped on the screen. And there was our PT Cruiser that we had. We have a convertible PT Cruiser that we've had since 2006. And, you know, it popped on the screen there along with right out in front of the cabin. And I thought, man. Feels so good to be at that cabin in a nice warm day, or else having the wood stove go, keeping us warm. And to take that PT Cruiser was nice and warm, to have the top down. And all of a sudden, I was just really homesick for the cabin. I've had a funeral each week for the last 3 weeks, and one of the burials that I had was to Reed City. And I told him that I had a hard time keeping my cabin, my car, when we turned on 10 to head over towards Reed City. I had a hard time turning that car because it wanted to go north to the cabin. Well, you got some places like that that's in your mind and heart that's kind of very special to you. And that's what these places came in Jesus' life, the Mount of Olives. You know, life is a journey that is filled with so many hardships. There's so many headaches, but there's joys. There's celebrations, there's special moments, and they lead on to our destination of what we are finding out what our purpose in life is really about. The world will not always be smooth, folks, and we know that, and you should have known that. Throughout our travels, we will encounter many challenges. Some of these challenges are tests of our courage. Some of these challenges are to give us strength beyond our weaknesses. And even sometimes it's a challenge to our faith. That's what I'm saying this morning. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I want to give you a little history of the place called the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives was a large ridge of hills east of Jerusalem. It was separated by a valley. The Mount of Olives, where Jesus prayed, was outside of the city, opposite to the east of the wall of the temple. There was a Garden of Gethsemane within that Mount of Olives, and the word Gethsemane means olive press. Olive press, P-R-E-S-S. I was curious to what the word olive press meant, so I looked it up. It said during the times of Jesus, they would take a heavy stone slab that would be lowered into a round cement thing that they had as well, and they would take and push that around. And first they would shake up the olives, crush the olives, and then they'd put them in this tank that they had kind of made out of cement or whatever it's made out of. And then there was a hole in that wheel, and somebody would push that wheel around, or a donkey would pull the wheel around, and that donkey would go over and over those there olives and would press the olive oil out of that. And then they had a pit which would catch the olive oil, and then they'd put it into their clay jars. That was quite a operation way back there. That's how they got that oil out of the olives. And that was something. But you know what? The word that was there that caught my attention, it was like a press. It was pressure put on that olive to bring something out of that olive that wouldn't come out unless there was pressure put upon it. With that thought in mind, that Gethsemane experience is a place or time in your life when you're going through a great time of pressure. Maybe pressure coming from every side. And sometimes it's just like the olive, it's squeezing us to bring out something good in our life, to bring out some blessing, something can be used for another way. And that's important for us. So that's what we're going to think about this morning, is that place called the Olive Garden and the idea of being put under some pressure. I found a time in the Old Testament that the Mount of Olives is mentioned. It was when in a relationship with King David. It was a time of great sadness in King David's life. His son Absalom, who he loved very much, was out to destroy his dad. He was trying to take the kingship away from his dad and have it for himself. David and his loyal followers, his soldiers and so on that he had, they fled the city by the way of the eastern route. David cried. Now listen to this. David cried as he went up the Mount of Olives. He covered his head and walked barefoot. And all of the troops that were with him covered their heads, and they cried as they went up the hill at Mount Olives. That's in 2 Samuel 15. Isn't it interesting that many years later, we read about the Lord Jesus in the New Testament prior to his crucifixion. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he was praying that God's will would be done. And he prayed with all of his heart, Lord, if there's any other way, would you do it? But if not, not my will be done, but your will be done. Listen to what it says. It says he was asking that for God's will. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. So he prayed very hard in anguish. Now listen to this. His sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. I've been in anguish before, but never that much. I'm sure you've been in anguish before, but never quite that much. I think we should take a realization that this place of Gethsemane is a place of pressure upon your life. But it produces something. It produces what God wants to produce out of our life. So I would encourage you that I'm going to speak at this time about this experience that we're going through in our individual lives as a Gethsemane experience. It's a squeezing time on your life and my life. It's a squeezing time on the way we used to do things and how freedom, much freedom we had, and now we're isolated, so to speak. And church ministry has never been like it has been. I mean, we've learned some things. I'm sure every church has learned some things because of what we've gone through. And I believe that when this is all over, we'll have a better idea of how we should minister than we did before this experience happened. There's some oil in this sadness. There's some oil coming from this place of Gethsemane for your life. The olive press is pressing away on us, but at the same time, we realize it's going to produce an oil of healing. Maybe in your own life, you know, you kind of took a lot of things for granted, and yet at the same time, we realize that there's things that we need to understand that is a part of our life as we go along. You know what I want us to consider this for this few moments now? Is some of that I can show you that happened in somebody else's life. This can produce a need for Gethsemane experience when all of a sudden you're taking things for granted. And can we be honest? Before this thing happened, didn't you and I take a lot for granted? We just got in the car and went anywhere we wanted to. I remember saying to Bev one day a couple of weeks ago, you know, we like to go out to eat. We had our favorite restaurants to go out to eat. And we had maybe 6-7 places that we enjoyed going. And we got ready to go, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. You ever done that, you know? And all of a sudden you figure out where you want to go and say, now, you know what, Bev? We think we took that for granted. We had so many places to go. Now we can't go any place. That's the way it changed in our life, and that's how it's changed that way in your life. One day the disciples, they've been taking Jesus for granted, folks. They've been walking along with him. They're believing he's coming to set up a kingdom on earth. And I'm so glad that Jesus was setting up a kingdom in heaven. He wanted to be a spiritual kingdom. They thought he was going to set up a physical kingdom. That would have only lasted for one generation. He's come to set up a kingdom that will last for eternity. And I'm a part of that kingdom when I place my faith and trust in Christ, and so are you. And so he reminds us that's something good to have. But these disciples have been hearing him teach and enjoying the teaching, and they've been watching him do miracles and seeing how he changed people's lives. Nobody ever came to him, left the same as they came. They were changed and things was beautiful. And then all of a sudden they're walking along one day, and it tells us that the disciples, because they had been taking things for granted, I think, a quarrel broke out among them, the disciples. They argued about who should be considered the greatest in the kingdom of God. Jesus came to them as he heard them arguing about that, and he said to them, "The kings of the nation have power over their people, and those in authority call themselves friends of the people. But you're not going to be that way. Rather, the greatest among you must be like the youngest, and your leader must be like a servant." Who's the greatest, the person who sits at the table or the servant? Isn't it really the person who sits at the table? But Jesus said, "I'm telling you, I come to you as a servant. I didn't come that you could wait on me. I didn't come that you could serve me." He's saying, "I came that you could realize that you need to be a servant." I love what Jesus said next before he left that conversation. "You have stood with me in the troubles that have tested me." And it's like he's saying, "Thank you for sticking with me for this period of time that you have done so." You know what? It isn't a short time later, And all of a sudden, Jesus is at his Gethsemane moment, when he's going to be pressured like he has never been pressured before, when he's going to feel the heaviness of surrendering his life that had never tasted of death to the thing of death for you and I. When that Gethsemane experience was coming, he knew that he was going to have to surrender to the will of the Father. You know, he decided to take some of the disciples with him. I think he was trying to teach them about the Gethsemane experience. Some of the disciples, he stopped a little bit before he got to where he was going. And he said, just stay here and watch and pray. He took Peter, James, and John a little closer, and then he told them, I got to tell you, my soul is being tested today. Tonight I'm in great agony within my innermost being. He's trying to let them know that he was in a place where he really needed some friendship. He said, would you sit here while I go just a little further? And I pray. Would you stay here and pray? So Jesus went a little further. I love the way the Bible said it, about a stone's throw. That's a good measurement. About a stone's throw he went, and he knelt down and he began to pray. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup of death pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. You know, he came back and the disciples were asleep. He woke him up and he said, couldn't you watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray, he said, that you don't enter into temptation. And he went away and he prayed again. And he prayed the same prayer. And I believe that's probably when those great drops of blood came from him as his sweat. He came back and he see the disciples sound asleep because their eyes were heavy, they were tired. And he didn't even wake them that time. He went back and he prayed again. And that third prayer, he surrendered to the Father's will. He came back to where the disciples was, and then he said, as I shared in the message last week, let's go face the enemy. Let's go face the next step of our challenge. Let's meet them before they come to take us away. You know, in this homebound time, I like to think of it as a Gethsemane experience, a time not to take things for granted, but remember the challenge of the Lord Jesus to watch and pray, to watch and pray. You know, he tells us, as he told the disciples, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. I came across this verse in Hebrews. For this reason, we must pay attention very closely to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. Can I ask this question of myself? Can I ask this question of you as an individual? Don't you believe that we kind of drifted away from things we knew we should have done? I'm not just talking about things that are sinful. You know, folks, sin isn't just all naughty, bad things. Sin is disobedience in many different areas of our life. I even like one verse in the book of James that says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me say that again. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, God's trying to remind us of something that is very special. I got one more point that I want to share with you, because it may be somebody under the hearing of my voice that's in this kind of a pressure in your life right now. Because there's a man by the name of Peter. Now, Peter was a wonderful person. Peter was a fisherman. I think he was a man's man, as they often say, you know. But he's going to have a Gethsemane experience in his life. He's going to feel pressure like he's never felt pressure before. Peter, he was a person that was very active. He was a straightforward person, always quick to speak, always quick to ask a question. When Jesus shared that he was soon going to die, Peter even took him aside and rebuked him for saying that. Quit saying that. You're not going to die. We're going to be here with you. And Jesus said to Peter one day, Peter, I know you mean well. Like he said, I think that's what he had in mind. I know you mean well, Peter. But before the day is over, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And off in the distance, when you do that third time, a rooster's going to go, cock-a-doodle-doo, cock-a-doodle-doo. And you know, Peter said, Lord, every one of these other disciples, if they forsake you and deny you, I'm telling you, I never will. And you know, I think he really believed he would never do that. Matter of fact, when they come to arrest him, Peter, kind of defending Jesus, he chopped off the ear of one of the men. And Jesus healed the ear right there, put his ear right back on, said, Peter, put up your sword. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is God's part of our life. You know, one thing I know about this experience in Peter's life, this Gethsemane experience, he followed the Lord Jesus as they arrested him and took him to the place of trial. And Jesus was taken right inside. Another disciple, probably John, was taken right inside. But Peter stood outside and he was warming himself by a fire because it was a cool evening. And this Gethsemane experience all of a sudden was very difficult. One person came and said, aren't you one of his? And Peter said, I don't even know him. Somebody else came and said to him, you're one of his. Your language sounds like his language. And Peter said, I don't know him. And when the third one asked him, he denied it with a curse. I've told you I don't know him. And off in the distance, the rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo. And you know, the eyes of Jesus caught the eyes of Peter. And all of a sudden, he wept bitterly. I love the way it says, he wept bitterly. It seems like in this Gethsemane time, it brings us to tears. And I'm sure you've been brought to tears sometimes. Through this experience we're going through that I'm calling our Gethsemane experience at this time. And that brought tears. And Peter wept bitterly. It was such a disappointing time to him. You know one thing I need to share with you, and then we'll listen to this song I have. You know what? Jesus didn't leave Peter there. I think Peter spent several days, because this is before the crucifixion, before they had crucified him, so he had all the days of that. This is when he was just first arrested, so he had that whole week, and then Jesus was laid in the tomb for 3 days, and then Jesus was resurrected, and I'm not sure when this story happened, but all of a sudden, Peter went back to fishing. He became impatient. He fished all night, and he didn't catch anything. And in the morning, there was one walking along the shore, and he said to them, did you catch any fish? He's got a fire going there on shore. He's got some fish cooking there on shore. And he said, did you catch any fish? And they said, no, they didn't know it was Jesus. He said, cast your net on the other side. And they cast their net on the other side, and they got a great catch of fish. And all of a sudden, they recognized it's Jesus. They'd seen him alive. He is alive. And all of a sudden they got to shore and they had breakfast together that Jesus had prepared for them. And after breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then he asked him the second time, and then he gave Peter something to do. And then he asked him the third time, and it bothered Peter a little bit because he asked him the third time. You know why? Because remember How many times did Peter deny him? 3 times. And Jesus asked him for the one for each of the times he denied Peter. Do you love me? And then he gave him something to do. You know what he did, folks? He restored Peter back to the family of God, back to the service of God. And that's pretty special. Well, we got to take a little break. Got to get a sip of water. And, you know, we got a song, Go Light Up Your World. We'll listen to that song. And then I'll be right back and share the rest of the message with you. God bless you as we listen to this song.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the and light up the sky. Pray to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest time. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the
your candle, go light your world. Isn't that a good lesson for us to learn? You know, in Gethsemane experience of Peter's life, God was teaching Jesus was teaching Peter, got something I want you to do. the Gethsemane of our life and what we're going through right now. Haven't you noticed? There's so many people looking for ways to try to help one another. I believe we drifted from that. I believe we drifted from being concerned about one another. All the time Jesus was here, that's exactly what he did. He taught by example to love God is to love people. He taught by example that you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. He taught by example that you need to do these kinds of things to help one another. Much of his teaching was like that. And much that Jesus did by example was exactly that. He healed the lepers. He caused the blind to see. Now, he's not asking you and I to do that today, but he's asking us to get into our world. So I got to go back to the Mount of Olives for just a few moments, folks, as we wrap up our service for today and what time we have left. It was probably 40 days later. Jesus had been seen by many hundreds of peoples, and many stories are told about what he did. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to a mountain which Jesus had directed them, and there he saw him. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still doubted. And Jesus came and said unto them, now listen, because this is the challenge that Jesus gave to the disciples, but it's a challenge that he's given to us. It's what we've come to call the Great Commission. And he gives us what the way that the Great Commission works. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus. Go therefore, because this authority has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So he gives us three things to do. Go and help people understand what it is to believe in the Lord Jesus and become a disciple of his. At the same time, after they've become a disciple of his, baptize them in the water to give that connection that they have with the Lord Jesus. And it'll be a benefit that their past life is gone and they're starting a new life with this one Lord Jesus. And then teach them to observe or to do all the things that I have commanded you. Now, here's the bottom line. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. God gave to those disciples a job that he wanted them to do. He's going back to heaven, and he wants them to do the job that he was doing on planet Earth. He wants it now to be those people who claim to believe in this one Jesus, to do what Jesus did, to reach out and minister as he ministered, and to be a help to people. All of a sudden, he's going to go back to heaven. But he promises something. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, that's why they were doubting. They still thought he was setting up an earthly kingdom. He said to them, it's not for you to know the time or seasons that the Father has fixed for only his authority. But you will receive power, he said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, when you find my spot, I come upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. He said, I'm not setting up my kingdom right now, but you're going to be my witnesses, and you're going to be bringing about what is called the kingdom of God. They didn't still get this. There's going to be people as you go who will believe in Jerusalem. There's going to be others who will believe in Judea. There's going to be others who believe in Samaria. And wherever you go in the world, you talked about this one Jesus. They will believe in him. And as they were gazing into the heavens, he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, Why do you stand looking up into the heavens? This same Jesus who was taken away from you will come again. As you saw him go, you will see him come. God's Son Jesus went back to heaven. There's an Old Testament thing in Zechariah that gives us a promise that the Mount of Olives is mentioned, that that's going to be the place where the Lord Jesus returns to. You know, I think he wants us to understand there's some things that's going to happen at the end time. There's some things that we need to realize it's a part of God's told us about. But the timing of that, what God's told us about, many of people have been asking, you know, is this the end times? Is this the end time? Nobody knows. God's kept that a secret. And even Jesus said he didn't know, just the Father knows. But he does give us this promise, and I'm not going to say anything about this. I'm just going to share the promise with you. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have died before us. We don't want you to grieve like other people who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and he came back to life. We also believe that through Jesus, God will bring back those who have died. They will come back with Jesus. We're telling you what the Lord has taught. We who are still alive when the Lord comes will not go into his kingdom ahead of those who have already died. The Lord will come from heaven with a command and with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God shall call. First, the dead who believe in Christ will come back to life. Then together with them will be called alive, who are still alive, will be taken up in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air. In this way, we will always be with the Lord. Now listen to what he says. So comfort each other with these words. He's telling us this one Jesus is coming back again. He's telling us this one Jesus is not only coming back again, but he's coming with all those who have died believing in this one Jesus. It's going to be a great body of people coming back with him. And then he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, I've done over 5,000 funerals in my lifetime. And I don't know how old I was, but I know it was a long time ago that I started praying, Lord, if you're coming back in my time, Lord, if you're coming back while I'm still alive, dear Jesus, I'd like to have you come back when I'm doing a funeral service. Can you imagine? All of those that have died because Jesus arose and he's given us the promise of the resurrection. All of those that have placed their faith in Christ. And I'd like to be standing in the cemetery and all of a sudden the graves open and every one of them come alive. And then in a split second, we're caught up in the air to meet with him. That's a promise God gives us. And he says, I want you to comfort one another with those kinds of words because it's going to help you to be that kind of a realization that God's saying, the kingdom is going to be established. He's building the kingdom now. But then he's going to take the kingdom and establish the kingdom. And I'm not going into all of that because so many people have tried to explain everything, how it's going to happen, and it's only in the mind and the heart of God. But what a beautiful thing to know that this is not the end of life on planet Earth. But there's a promise that God says you're going to live eternity because you've believed in me. In the meantime, as we go through our Gethsemane experience, as we go through the fact that we're not in church today, that we're just listening to church today. And you know, church is the people, and we hear that a lot, and that is true. But I got to tell you also, church is pretty special when you can gather together. Matter of fact, there was a time when God said this to the people, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. And even be more careful about it as the times get worse. You know, maybe what God's saying to us is we need to realize that idea of coming together at the end of a life, at the end when Jesus comes to establish his kingdom, is to cause us to realize that we need to come together as a church when we gather together as people. And some people haven't done that, and maybe this Gethsemane experience is an experience to teach us we need to get back to church. We need to be back involved with other people in our lives. But in the meantime, as you have the difficulty you're going through in your life, one more thing before we have our closing song. The Mount of Olives experience launched Jesus forward in his kingdom ministry as he went back and was seated at the right hand of God the Father. You know what he tells us? He's there as our high priest. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession of faith. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have a high priest that in every respect has been tempted as in every way that we are. And yet, he was without sin. Let us then have confidence and draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Jesus has gone back to heaven, and there he intercedes for you, and there he intercedes for me. He shares with the Father, this is hard on them. Jesus knows what it is like to go through the Gethsemane experience. He did it. And we're in our Gethsemane experience, and I believe he knows what it's like. And he wants us to know that's something that is very special to his heart. And right now, you and I need to know that no matter how tough it gets, Jesus is praying for you. Think of that. Jesus is praying to the Father for you. He's praying for me. And he's saying, Father, help them to get through this Gethsemane experience of their life. I got a song I want us to listen to. And this song is telling us something I hope we'll do as time gets closer to going back to our normal life, whatever that is. He says, turn your back on those things that has caused you to go astray. Turn your back on those things that has caused you to maybe drift away from the teachings of God that you knew. Turn your back on those things and allow Jesus to have his will and way. He loves you. He loves you with an eternal love. God bless you. And thank you for letting me share with you. Bye-bye.
If you're taking more than you've been giving, if your life seems a little more lonely every day, turn your back to the life you're leading. Turn your back to the voice that you're heeding. Turn your eyes to the morning star who loves you for what you are. He's the only one who can show you a better way. Turn your back to the road you're walking. Turn your back to your way of talking. Turn your back to the friends who just want to bring you down. Turn your back to you was hard of believing. Turn your back to you was hard of receiving. Turn your eyes to the Lord above. You'll soon find a perfect love. He's the only one who can turn your life around. If you searched all your life for something, and it seems that you have missed the one thing that will give you peace and comfort your troubled heart, turn your back on the doubts and confusion. Turn your back on your disillusion. Turn your feet toward a brand new road. You will find a friend to share your load. He's the only one who can give you a brand new start. Turn your back to the road you're walking. Turn your back to your way of talking. Turn your back to the friends who just want to bring you down. Well, turn your back to you as hard as believing. Turn your back to you as hard as receiving. Talking, turn your back to the friend.
receiving. Turn your eyes to the Lord above, and you'll soon find the perfect love.